Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen, amen, amen. You know what Pastor normally does when he gets up here? Y'all stand up. You know, sometimes we get in a little bit of a hurry, and it's really not a hurry. It's just we're just at a rapid pace a lot of times. But before the praise team leaves, I should have told y'all up front, but lagging behind. But I want y'all to find the key of G. Okay, that's good. That's all. The key of G, standing for God, you know. The key of G. We sang a song. We've been singing songs up this morning concerning about the goodness of God and our sins rolled away, our sins washed away, and He deserves so much. So what we're going to do, if God, through Christ, has done away with your sin, if that's you, raise your hand. Just raise that. He took care of my sins. Okay, that looks like everybody. Looks like everybody in the sanctuary. Then let's praise Him with a resounding sound in that key, whatever y'all want to do. But don't give Him a praise. Give Him all your praise. Let's just spend a minute doing that. You're okay with that? I'm fine with that. He's worthy. He's so worthy. I look at our lives and I look at my life and what it used to be. It's not that way anymore. It is different. My life has changed. Has yours changed? Give Him praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
like the Lord wants me to share a testimony of a healing I got last week. That's okay.
Yeah, won't be long. Yeah.
Praise God. All right, let's see if this thing's on. All right. So real quick, I just felt pressed by the Lord to share this testimony and just, you know, to help encourage praise. A little over a month ago, I had hurt my knee, and I was told that it was a torn meniscus and that that's something that, you know, doesn't heal without surgery. And so that was the only way to go in and heal it. And I shared this last week in our little individual classes, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to share it with the body. But I got a stomach flu last week, and during the stomach flu, I just decided, you know what? I'm in this bathroom, I'm laying in the floor, and I said, I'm just going to choose and decide that right now I'm going to spend this time in here praising God. I don't care. The devil wants me to try to throw up my hands and act like God ain't good to me all the time, and God is good to me all the time. Come on, Mac. Listen, I'm in there doing what I'm doing, and just as soon as I can get a breath, I'm back to praising God, singing praise and worship songs. And I truly meant those praise songs. You know, we praise Him on the mountain, and we praise Him in the valley. I'm going to praise God anywhere and anyhow I can. And I'm praying to God the whole time, God, please heal me. Heal me, God. Help me, Lord. Help me, God. And I'm just believing that He's going to heal me. But in the waiting, I decided I'm going to praise the Lord. And the next day when I got up and I could finally start moving around again, I got to walking and I said, hold on a second. I said, hold on. I've been walking with a limp, y'all, like this. And I said, hold on a second. I ain't walking with a limp no more. I ain't got no pain in my knee. God healed my knee in that moment. And listen, it just real quick, it reminded me of there were 10 lepers, and that Jesus healed those 10 lepers. And there was one that turned back around to worship Him. And He said, because of your faith, you have been made whole. God didn't just heal me right then, but He made me whole because of my faith in Him to do it, even when I was in the valley, and I still believed in His goodness. And listen, I'm telling you right now, it don't matter what you're going through, what you've been through, God sees you, He knows you, He loves you, He's got a purpose for you and for your life is to glorify Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is who we come in here to praise. The one who healed back then is still healing today, and He's making whole, and He's making well, and He's making alive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Amen. That's great. You may be seated. If you can, you may be seated. You know, there's a movie that out there that talks about, it's a old brother, where art thou? And the guy go gets baptized, and he said, come on in, boys, the water's fine. And then the Piggly Wiggly comes up and says, I didn't think you robbed the Piggly Wiggly. I robbed the Piggly Wiggly, but He forgave me for that too. I don't know what it is that may be hanging around in your mind concerning a certain sin that you've done. I don't know what that is. It probably won't be robbing a Piggly Wiggly, but it may be doing something that you did. I want you to know this, that God said, I forgive you of that one too. I've covered it all. He's covered every bit of it. Give Him praise again. Give Him praise again. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor John, for this swig of water. It is great. Thank you, guys. Oh, isn't He good? Isn't He good? Well, I don't know if all of you are involved in a group, but you should be, of our campaign. This is the fourth week, and fourth week is about discipleship. All of them have been great, but this one's going to be awesome as well. This one is about you are created to become like Christ. Oh, that is so good. And we're going to learn about three different ways that God grows us up. Oh, that's going to be good. If you're not in a group, get in one. If you're not in one, you want to come on Wednesday night. We have groups on Wednesday night for this 6 weeks. So come be a part of that. Becoming more like Christ. That's what he wants us to do. That's his purpose for our life, to become like his son. Become like his son. Oh, that's rich. Well, we're going to be talking about the gifts that the father gave the prodigal son. And we're not going to, in all the stuff prior to that, if you hadn't heard the messages, you can go back and listen to those. But I want to look at the three gifts here. In Luke 15, 20, 22, it says, bring out quickly. This is the father. Bring out quickly. Bring him out. No delay. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. We talked about that last week, and put it on him. That's the robe of righteousness. Covering it, taking care of his sin. Oh, has he taken care of the sin? Has he taken care of our sin? Has he? Has he taken care of the sin? Rolled it away, washed it away, and remembers it no more. Don't try to remind God about what you've done. He already knew it. And he already forgave it. Oh, my goodness. It's just so good. So good. Then he said, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. We're going to talk about that ring today. And hopefully the sandals, too, if we have enough time. The thing about him coming, and he said, okay, he's done wrong. He said, I'm not worthy to be called a son. I'm not worthy of anything. Just make me one of your hired hands. He said, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Bring out the ring, put it on him. Bring out the sandals and put it on him. This thing about a ring is about the ring of authority. It's the robe of righteousness. It is the ring of authority. And we get that from the Bible. Over in Genesis 41, 41, it says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He took it off of his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him to ride in the second chariot. He's in the second chariot behind Pharaoh. Second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. So you see, the ring of authority is when he took it off and put it on Joseph. We have to understand that he is saying, okay, the authority that I have, I am delegating to you. And he set him over all of Egypt. So you begin to see that in Romans chapter 13, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority, resists the ordinance of God. I didn't say that. He did. And he said it, and guess what? He meant it. there's an old saying that used to be said, God said it. Let's say God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Y'all, what was it? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I got news for you. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. We need to believe it. But whether we believe or not, God said it. His word's not going to return to him void. It's not going to do it. Oh, I like that hallelujah. I really do. So you begin to see that God has established the authorities. Over in Esther 8:8, let's look at that verse. And you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews, as you please in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. And whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, what? No one can revoke. In other words, it cannot be changed. So you see, the ring is about the authority that God has. Now, God has sovereign authority. He's sovereign. He has sovereign authority. We have delegated authority. He has delegated to us authority. We don't have sovereign authority. We're not sovereign. He is. So he's given us delegated authority. What kind of authority? Well, we're going to find some of that out. We begin to see that he says, look, this thing, no one can change it. If it's done with the king's seal, won't wax with the king's ring, won't be changed, cannot be changed. So in giving the ring to the son, he is bestowing his authority. he is bestowing his authority upon the son and reinstating him into the family and to do the family's business. What did Jesus say about they was looking for him? He said, don't you know this? I must what? I must be about my father's business. See, Jesus knew the business that he needed to be about. It wasn't his own. It was the father's business that he had to be busy about. And that's the way it is for us with that delegated authority from God. He said, but sometimes we think like, okay, we've got all this authority and we just go around just using our authority everywhere. Well, that's not what the Bible talks about. It's a delegated authority. It's like this, you know, there's a verse over there that talks about if you have a faith as much as a mustard seed, a tiny seed, that you can say to this mountain, watch this, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be cast into the sea. Let me ask you this. How many mountains do you see cast into the sea? You don't go around and, so we can't take that as a literal thing saying, okay, because you don't see it. Now, I'm not saying that there hasn't been any mountains going into the sea. I've seen where water has overtaken land. But see, we have to understand ours is a delegated authority. And we need to understand that. It's not a sovereign authority. It is his sovereign authority that has delegated us to do whatever it is he wants us to do at that point in time in our life. So you understand that. So so let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke 9, verse 1. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Verse 2. And he sent them out to preach the gospel of God, to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. Verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So you begin to see his spoken word. They're not born again, but they have received the word. They've made a commitment to follow him. And he spoke the word, and his spoken word gave them authority to be able to do what he said they needed to go do. So there was walking in that spoken word of authority that Jesus was giving them. And we often say, well, you know, that's just for the 12 disciples. You know, that's just for the 12 disciples because there were only 12 that he called. Well, he only had 12. And then some people will say, no, that went away when the disciples died. Well, we got problems with that when you read the scriptures and walk through it and see it. So let's look at, and this thing says, okay, it's just for the 12. Let's let the Bible answer that question. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed. This word appointed means commissioned. After these things, the Lord commissioned. He appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was going to go. Now he's got 70 more. He's got 70 more that he commissioned. He commissioned, said this, all right. Now what they going to do? Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3. Go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. And heal the sick there. Wherever he sends, heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the 12. He's talking to the 70. that he commissioned. We have to understand that this thing that God, that Jesus is doing, is setting up the kingdom and setting up the authority, the righteousness with the robe, and the authority that God has given the believers as we walk in life. Let's look at verse 17 out of that. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Woo! They're all excited. Even the let me ask you something. Did they have to confront demons? That's a question. Did they have to confront demons? Yeah. Absolutely. How'd they confront them? Come out in Jesus' name. And what'd they say? Even the demons are subject to us in your name. When we use your name, demons have to come out. Demons. So then he goes on, he says, he said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Verse 19, behold, take notice. Stand up and take notice. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Behold, I want you to take notice. I've given you authority. I want you to notice that he didn't say, I've given you all authority. I've given you authority. Here's the delegated part. I've given you a delegated authority. I've given you authority to be able to trample on serpents and scorpions and the authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. They're all excited. Man, we can just say in the name of Jesus and things happen. Things happen. Why? They were commissioned by God to go do that. By Jesus to go do that. And we have authority. But we don't have the sovereign authority. We have delegated authority. That's been delegated to us. He goes on and says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. I want you, were these mature Christians? Were these mature believers? Mm-mm. But right here it says, mm-mm. No, they're baby believers. But what are they doing? Operating in what? Authority. That Jesus has given them. And he says, I'm going to send you there, and I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and I want you to heal the sick. And he goes on and talks about the thing about these things, or the demons are subject to our name, to your name, as we use your name. So there is a lot of authority that God is saying that we have, and we need to be able to operate in it and through it. And the thing that really, really helps us is to understand that in the scriptures, he says over in Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 28, he said he called 11 disciples and come to Galilee to the mountain where he appointed them. And they, watch this, in verse 17, and they saw him and they worshiped him. What's the next part? Who did he call? The 11. The Bible says he called the 11. Worshiped him, but some what? Doubted. You know, that's like us. You know, he's saying all this, but then some of us still have this doubt hanging on to us that I am really not sure about all this stuff. Or I'm not sure I can do that. You can. I can't. He can through us. So you begin to see that even some of the 11, some of them doubted. Even when, this is the Great Commission. And Jesus came to them and spoke, all authority has been given. All authority has been given to me. All of it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Then he says, go therefore. Why is therefore? Why is it therefore? because he's saying, all authority has been given to me. That's what Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now I want you to go in the authority that I'm giving you to go do. You hear that? And the delegation of authority that I'm giving you. I want you to go do this. And what he tells them to do, He tells them to make disciples. And by the way, this thing, go ye therefore, is as you are going. As you are going. Well, let me ask you, when is that? When is as you are going? When is it? All the time, anytime. We didn't pay the light bill. No, I'm messing with you. As you are going. See, we think, well, when he sends me to China, when he sends me to Libya, when he sends me to wherever, that's when I, no, make disciples as you are going. So you're about to go in just a little while. You're about to get up from this seat and you're about to go. Jesus says, as you are going, wherever it is you go, wherever it is that you're going, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded, that I have commanded you. Everything that you've learned from me, I want you to teach them to do the same. He said, you have authority to do that. That it's not just, well, I've got to depend on my teaching ability. No, you don't. You depend on his teaching ability. You depend on him teaching you. And what he's told you, he said, I want you to go tell others. So here he is. He's got this, and he goes on and he says, I'm always with you. I'm with you always. And he goes on and says, until the end of the age. So you begin to see that now, if it's just for the, if we're going to use the fact that it's just for the 11, then you and I don't get to make disciples. Because he's just talking to the 11. You and I don't get to baptize because he's just talking. See, he's not talking just, he's talking to his 11. But he's talking to all his disciples. Okay. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. He's sending us out to represent him, to say what he's saying. You can't be an ambassador for a country and go say whatever you want to say. You got to be, you're sent to say something by the one who has the authority to send you. And then you need to say what it is that he said. You can't make it up as you go, and you can't do what you want to do. So you begin to see that. Now, over in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people will quote, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, we leave something out in that. The very first part of that is what? Submit to God. You have to obey God. You have to be submissive to God. Obey God. And then, listen to this. Then he says, you resist the devil. As you're submitted to me, you resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Listen, this thing about resist in this passage is to oppose in word and deed. To oppose in word and in deed. In other words, you can't just say anything you want to. You have to oppose him with what God is telling you. You just can't use your words. You have to use his words. Oppose him, and you can't do your deeds. You got to do his deeds. Submitted to God means I'm going to say what God is. I'm going to say what God's telling me to say, and I'm going to do what God's telling me to do. He said, "You do that in word and in deed, and the enemy will flee from you." How many of you want the enemy to flee from you? Now, those of you that didn't raise your hand, good luck. I know. You know, the thing is, there is no other way. There's not, we don't have enough of anything to do that. But we've got all of Christ. Then he goes on to say, this word flee means to run with haste. You want to put the devil on the run with haste from you? From you? You want to see him run with haste from you? Submit to God. Say what God is saying and do what God's telling you to do. And he said, he'll leave you in a hurry. That is the word of God. And we really need to understand that is the truth. But we can't do it without submitting to God. You know, and one of the worst things we can do is verse 6. You want to know how to lose your authority or lessen your authority or limit your authority? Verse 6, verse before that. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Oh, bless you, by the way. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, here's that word resist again. Different word. He said, if you get prideful, God said, I'm going to resist the proud. What does that word resist? Does it mean to oppose in word and deed? No. That's a different word that we just used in the prior verse. Well, Pastor, what does that word mean? Are you ready? That word means to come out. This is what God does. God resists the proud. This is what God does. So what does that word resist mean? He comes out in full battle array. What does that mean? He is dressed to the hilt. He is dressed to make sure the proud doesn't get through. Pride doesn't get through. He is in full battle array against the proud. Bible said he is a mighty warrior. He don't have just a few little things. He comes out with everything. He comes out with everything, everything, everything. He comes with everything of him, everything of him. And what does he come against? Pride. Now, how much authority are you going to have? Mm-mm. Not much at all. Can't use it. Because you're being opposed and resisted by God. And then he goes on, he says, but he gives grace, empowerment to do what he wants you to do to the humble. Everybody say, to the humble. To the humble. He gives it to the humble. So we begin to understand that this is God's purpose of the authority. See, your authority is not for you to do whatever you want to do. Your authority is to do what God wants you to do. Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, it says, Jesus turned aside to Peter. Peter has just had a revelation from the Father of who Christ is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then right after that, Jesus is talking about, boys, I'm going to go. They're going to take my life. And he goes, and Peter gets up at this fresh revelation. And he said, man, you didn't get this from man. You got this from the Father. So Jesus talks about going and having to die and everything. And with that newfound revelation, here goes Peter. Peter said, nope, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen to you. Pulls him aside. You know, I need to speak with you. the Bible's funny. It really is funny. Peter is pulling Jesus. No, I didn't speak to you. That ain't going to happen. But basically he said, I'm here. I've got the revelation of who you are. That's not going to happen. And then the Bible says this. He said, Peter turned. Now this word turn means he did this. He went. He quickly turned to look at Peter. He quickly turned and looked at Peter. He said, and he's talking to Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. I just got a revelation. Get behind me, Satan. What he's saying, he said, get out of my way. You're a hindrance to me. Get out of my way. You're a stumbling block to me. For you, listen, here it is. For you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. That's really, you can't do what it is that you want to do. I can't do what I want to do. I have to do what He wants me to do. God, what do you say about this? God, what do you want me to do concerning this? He may send you to do something that you have never done. He's done that to me a bunch of times. I know He's done that to you guys. But you don't have to worry about, well, I ain't never done this. He has. He's got it. He's got it all. So that's authority. I've got just a few minutes left for the sandals. Oh, my goodness. Let's look at the sandals real quick. Look at the sandals. Put the robe on him. Put the ring on him. That's the authority. Put the ring on his hand and put sandals on his feet. The sandals is about sonship. You have thought about, so why didn't he have sandals on? It's been a long time. He's been gone a long time. He really has. But in the Bible, sons only wore sandals. Slaves went barefoot. He said, make me a slave. That's what he's wanting to say to the father. The father stopped him. Bring the sandals out. And by the way, whose robe is it? Father's. Whose ring is it? Father's. Whose sandals are they? The father's. Yeah, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that he took everything that he owned. The son took everything he owned and left, including his sandals. So here it is. Here's the sandals. Well, what's this thing about sandals? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 25, we don't have a verse for that, but you need to write that down and read that passage. I tell you what, the Bible has some strange things in it. It really does. If a husband died, an unmarried brother was to take the wife and preserve the lineage, the land, and provision. So, husband died, the brother of that husband needs to take the wife, take his brother's wife, and marry her and take care of her. If he doesn't agree, the wife goes to the elders to talk to him. Whew, think about that. Well, I'm going to the elders. Why is that? Because he says he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Oh, my goodness. So he talks to the elders. The elders go and talk to him, and he still disagrees. So the widow then goes to and removes his sandals. And this is the part that if you want to live under the law, listen to this one. Remove his sandals and spit in his face. So she removed the sandals from it. What did she just do? Took away his right to marry her. Took away his right to marry her. So it's about his identity and the rights that he has from the father. So you begin to see that. Anyway, she spits in his face, and then his name is called. Whatever his name was changed. You want to hear is it up there? Well, no, I didn't give you that verse. It's the house of home whose sandal was removed. So that's his name. So what's your first name? The. What's your last name? Removed. So the whole thing's his name from that point on. But see, when the sandal is removed, there's no rights. None. Think about that. Ruth and Boaz. Over in Ruth chapter 4. See, Boaz wants to marry Ruth. Her husband's died years before. And there is a closer relative, not a brother, but there's a closer relative to her than Boaz. He's next. He's the second one in line. But anyway, he goes and talks to the one that's in line to marry her and to take care of her. And he goes to him and talks to him, and he says, I cannot redeem it for myself lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem it. This is the kinsman, the redeemer, the closest relative. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And it said the custom of the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm anything, a man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. What did he do? He took his shoe off and gave it to him, saying, I have no right to marry her. I now give you the right. I relinquish my right to marry her. So you begin to see that without the sandals, you don't have rights. So when the son came, he didn't have any rights, none whatsoever. But the father, bring them shoes over to me. Let's put them on his feet. And he reestablished who he was, his sonship, and his rights of being a member of the family and the position that he's supposed to be in. But anyway, it goes on. It says, buy it for yourself. And the Bible says, and so he took off his sandal. He gave up his right. And Boaz then was able to marry Ruth and buy the land and all that. So you begin to see that this thing, he didn't just give him a different wardrobe. He meant everything that he gave him had terrific, powerful meanings to reestablish the son that came home, you and I that came home. Matter of fact, I really liked what Pastor John said when he was talking about the visitors, and there wasn't any visitors today. What did he say? You remember what he told you? Say it out loud. Welcome home. That's what the father said, welcome home. Welcome, but you're not home as a pig pen keeper, as a pig food eater. You have the righteousness. I'm giving you the righteousness. I'm giving you the authority, and I'm giving you sonship. I'm giving you your position that you need. You're not a slave. You're a son. Amen. Does that remind you of anything? I know I need to close, but does that remind you of anything concerning shoes? Reminds me of one big one. Reminds me of a man called Moses. 80 years old, he's out. He's fled Egypt when he was 40, and he's out on the backside of the wilderness keeping his father-in-law's sheep. He's been doing that for 40 years. There's a burning bush out there that's not going. He's seen burning bushes before, but he ain't never seen one not go out. So he said, I must turn aside. And he went and turned aside and went there. And when he approached it and got there, you hear what the Lord said to him? He came to him and he said this. He said, he saw that he turned aside and he says, Moses, Moses. And then what did Moses say? I'm here. Here I am. What was the next thing God said? Here it is. You ready? Moses, Moses. What did he say? What did he say? Take your shoes off. Oh, I got sandals on. Take your shoes off. Because the ground that you're standing on is holy. I'm thinking about these shoes. And I'm thinking that when you take your shoes off, you lose your rights. Oh, what was God telling Moses? Where you're standing, you don't have any rights. I'm going to talk to you, but you don't have any rights. Take your shoes off. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Why? I got things I want to tell you. No, take your shoes off. You don't have any rights. It's almost like you want to talk to me? Take your shoes off. Oh, it's so good when you think about it. It says, give up your rights. Take your shoes off to the place that you're standing. He did the same thing with Joshua. You remember Joshua? He had a visitation. He saw this big angel, you know, and that's over in Joshua chapter 5. And the angel has his sword drawn, and it's in his hand. And Joshua looks at him and said to him, are you for us or against us? You for us or you for the adversaries? You know what the angel said? It was Jesus he was talking to. You know what he said? No. Are you for us or are you for them? No. What is he saying? I ain't for you. I ain't for them. I'm here to take over. And then he goes on and says, the commander of the, and he said, no, but the commander of the army of the Lord, I've come. Here I am, I've come. And Joshua fell on his face and on the earth and worshiped him. And he said, What do you want to say to your servant? And he said that the commander of the Lord's army said to him, take your shoes off. Why? They're about to go into battle with Jericho. And what did he just tell Joshua? Your way is not going to beat them. You're not going to defeat them. Take your shoes off. Means you ain't got no rights. You don't even have the ideas on how to do it. Take your shoes off. And then right after that, the Bible said the Lord gave him, here's just what you do. You march around it, you get them marching around it, blow the trumpets. Y'all know the story. And they defeated Jericho. Jericho didn't fall like this. It fell like this, straight down. Why? Because he didn't do it his way. He didn't do it his way. Or the normal way. Or the way battle is normally done. He didn't do, what did he do? He did it God's way. Why? He had no rights. He gave up his rights in order to be able to do what God. We have certain rights that we think we want to hold on to. And it gets right in the way between us and God. So the rights that the Father gave the Son was the Father's rights. Sonship. Your son. So you begin to see that these things that the Father gave were those things that the Father's given us today. Over in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to close. Philippians chapter 2 says this, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing that he should hold on to. To be equal with God is not something he says, not going to hold on to that. And I'm not going to hold on to that to benefit me, for his own advantage. But he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Oh, my goodness. Taking the form of a bondservant. So what Jesus said all along, he said, I don't have any initiative on my own. I hear the Father say, that's what I say. Oh, listen to that. Whatever I see the Father do, whatever I see, that's what I do. That's the delegated authority, and he's under it. So we got to do that. So we just don't need to be talking just to be talking. We need to be talking when he's speaking. We need to hear what he says and then say what he's saying, even when it don't even make sense. I was doing deliverance one time, and Brenda and myself on this lady, and Brenda had this thing about smelling and seeing and all this kind of stuff. She said, I smell strawberries. Does that mean anything? No, it don't mean anything. Later she went, that girl went and told her mom, and she came back, I think, the next day or so, said, I know what strawberries were now. I said, what was that? She said, strawberries were all over my security blanket when I was little. And we were dealing with her insecurity. So it made sense. So even though you don't think it makes sense, just say what God's saying. Just do what God's doing. So you begin to see that these are the gifts that the Father's given you and I for coming home. For coming home. This thing about that. Then one last scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, you're not your own. You don't do what you want to do. You do what he wants you to do. You say what he wants you to say. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify. Here's the responsibility of what he's given. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's our responsibility as believers. And we're established in all of that from the Father. Bow your heads. Father, I thank you for the goodness that you've given us. I thank you, God, that you're at work. Even when we don't see you, we sing about it, but even when we don't see you, you're working. You're working. And we thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for the robe of righteousness. We thank you for the ring of authority. We thank you for the authority. Lord, teach us not to abuse it. Teach us not to abuse the righteous. Teach us not to abuse the sandals. Teach us, Lord. Well, I do believe, Lord, I do believe that the sandals were just another way of helping him walk in the things that God gave, that the Father gave him. So help us to walk in the very things that you've already given us. From one end to the other. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on up.
Amen. All right, just a couple quick announcements. I want to remind you that March has 5 Sundays in it. So that means we get to eat on the 5th Sunday. So 5th Sunday fellowship is March 29th, immediately following the service in the FLC. So bring enough food for you, your family, and me. Because as y'all can tell, I've been eating a lot lately. So you know what I mean? This is a great opportunity to get to know one another, so we do want to make sure you're at these 5th Sundays. It's a wonderful time to learn and get to know your family members. Also, if you expressed interest in the marriage retreat coming up on August 27th to 29th, that the marriage retreat has guest speaker will be Nathan Groom. He's affiliated with Gary Chapman. Please confirm that you're going back at the Communication Center. And if you need more information, see Pastor John, see Miss Gina, because it's coming time to book rooms and stuff like that. And they're going to want to start wanting to get deposits in the next week or two. So if you have expressed interest, now's the time to sort of start committing. If you haven't expressed interest but you want to go on August 27th to 29th, make sure you go back to the Information Communication Center back there and let them know and sign up, okay? Are you ready to take those gifts he's given you and go out there and spread it around? Are you ready to beat the Baptist to the buffet? All right. Well, we'll get an amen one way or another around here. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you and we honor you this morning. Thank you for the gifts you've given us. Thank you that we are sons and daughters of yours, Lord. We're not worthy of it, but you made us worthy of it, Lord. And so we thank you for making us your own. And we just ask you right now that we would be ambassadors for your glory, for your goodness, and all that you've put on us and in us. And we just go out throughout the week spreading your love and your likeness to the people we come in contact with. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.